She's in a strange place today. She just don't know how strange we are. I'm going to take a portion of the passage, probably not the portion that most would have preached on this from this today, but I just seemed the Spirit wanted to have us look at this. The encounter that we just heard from the Scripture in John 12, it comes just days before the Passover of Holy Week. I want to go back to the first three verses, John 12, 20 through 23. Now among those who went up to worship at the feast were some Greeks. So these came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and they asked him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. And Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Let's pray. Father, in your word are many delightful and beautiful things to behold. Today, God, by your Spirit, focus and single in on this passage. Work with us in our hearts. Speak words in our spirit as we listen to you. Use human preaching if necessary, that as we meditate, focus on your word, we will indeed see Jesus. Come, Holy Spirit, manifest these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, so we would see Jesus is the King James Version, and that's what I came to it with. And I'll tell you why in just a little while, but in the King James it's put, "We would see Jesus." It's just kind of an old way of saying, we wish to see Jesus. We wish to see Jesus. It's a Christian truth. It's an acknowledgement in the core of faith. I don't think there would be any division within Christianity that would not try to say people need Jesus and we need to see Jesus. In our evangelical belief, we believe that somebody is always needing to see Jesus. That there's always a now moment. That there's always time for someone to see Jesus. And somebody's always asking to see Jesus, if we listen. Now put another way, people want to see God. I kind of have a pet peeve, and Joy's not in here, so I'll go ahead and tell you about it. Reading devotionals that don't mention Jesus. It's kind of funky to me because we're Christians. You know, we focus on Jesus as a third part of the Trinity, the Godhead, God Himself. And yet, all we see in the devotion will be, "Dear God," and "God," and "God," and "God." You know, and I don't want to judge, but I often do, based on the content on their focus or mention of Jesus, because He is how I know God. My God has names: Father, Abba, Jesus, Holy Spirit. But there's another time in Scripture that Philip was also a part of. Now, these Greeks came to see Philip. I think they picked him out. I think he had a Gentile appearance, or in some way they knew that he was either Greek. Maybe he even could speak in Greek. But he was the one they picked out. There's another time in John 12 where Philip brings a question. Thomas was questioning Jesus about how can we know the way to heaven. And Jesus was saying, you know, I'm showing you the way. And then John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And then we have John, I'll read 6. Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and that is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Philip's kind of at the heart within a couple of chapters here of seeing Jesus, and in that, so seeing the Father through Jesus. I think that unlike Thomas, who might have been expressing quite a bit of doubt, Philip was in an eager student position to understand more about how we can see and understand God. And that opens us to a broader truth. I don't believe that people aren't spiritual anymore. I just don't. And I think we have a very small window with people these days, God. I think most people are trying to piece it together in their own way and in their own heart. They don't believe in church. They've been told not to believe in church or assembling together. This is the place where all the haters and the judging people are. But in the same sense, they do have a question. They would claim to be spiritual even and questioning about God. They would like to see God, and they really wish somebody could help them by showing them God. Okay? Enter a person like Philip. Not just anybody can introduce someone to Jesus. You have to be in proximity to Jesus and know him yourself. Philip had access to Jesus. Philip knew that together, a couple of the disciples could get with these folks and get them into Jesus' presence, and they did. And that's actually a fascinating little passage there, as Jesus asks, you know, they say, "Where are you staying?" And all that evening is passed, we believe, in fellowship with these folks in some way. But let's take this greater truth about people wanting to see God. They may not know that wanting to see God is actually wanting to see Jesus, but we know it is a wish to see Jesus. Jesus gives us an understanding. See me, see the Father. Today, if you're in this building and you have this desire to see God today, you need to hear that you need to see Jesus. To see Jesus is seeing the Father. As I said earlier, those who see Jesus can show Jesus. And that's the responsibility of us, our responsibility, right? Knowing that we can see Jesus, we have to show Jesus. But this desire, sir, we wish to see Jesus. When these Greeks came and said that, the rest of the passage hinges on that. Because when they say, "Sir, we would see Jesus," and they bring these Greeks to him, it's a signal to Jesus. Their arrival and Jesus' arrival, now this is after the triumphal entry, these Greeks coming to see him signaled to Jesus. It was a verification. And he says, "The hour has come." They say, "Here are some people who want to see you." And he says, "The hour has come. The Greeks, the Gentiles have come. They're ready to receive a Savior." Gentiles sought out and went to a Gentile. And Jesus knew it was time. Curiosity about God among people who are not in our stripe, who are not in our social stream, who are not in our ethnicity, who are not in our whatever strata you want to use to divide people by, often have a curiosity about God. Which one of the boys helped me search up how many gods there are in India? Oh, come on. I have to start the whole service over. Reset back 20 minutes. Put the clock at 20 minutes. Now, I think it was something like 33 million or something like that. Some obscene number. Reflecting a desire in the human heart, especially in the spirit-frenzied soul, to make and create God and find God that way. But for a curiosity's sake, seeking to find God by trying things out. Many have only wanted to hear somebody talk about God in secret. I remember when my dad would listen to Billy Graham. Do you remember in the evening they'd have a crusade on television? Television was this thing people used to look at. Well, we're not quite there yet, but we're approaching. And I'd stand behind the couch and just try to overhear Billy Graham, trying to overhear the information I needed. Because I don't know what your context was, but in mine, as a young boy, I didn't hear a lot about how do you actually get Jesus. You know, I didn't get it. I wanted to piece it together. Many people today, out of a curiosity or a need, they want to overhear and get the pieces they need to find Jesus. In these very pews, I know, because we have many authentic Christians here today who came to faith that way, by overhearing, trying to get all the pieces together, hearing someone speak of Jesus and his miracles, the mercy, the forgiveness of any and all sin. And in hearing that, there was a supernatural urging that began, what we would call prevenient grace. God coming before that time and wooing us and convincing us in grace. And finally, we were in the snare. By free will choice, we were accepting of Jesus, having heard. Jesus said, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Are you curious today? Are you God curious? Are you hoping to see something that will finally put the pieces in place for you today? I'll ask you, where are your eyes looking? Early in my ministry, I encountered a guy. I really can't even mention the context without somebody knowing what it was about. But a person who was seeking a certain kind of healing had gone into all of these different kinds of spiritual solutions. You know, Reiki, the one that's advertised on... Have y'all seen the one on TV now? Kind of, I don't even know how you say it. But anyway, all of these, I'll call them demonically inspired pathways into healing. And he was tied up into that. And before too long, he was having encounters, spiritual encounters, in kind of a vision quest of spirits who present themselves to him. And he was telling me about it. And I said, "Well, did you see Jesus anywhere?" "No." And they said that he's too busy. He's too busy. Number one, if you would see Jesus, he's not too busy to see you. Number two, he doesn't need intermediaries. If you would see Jesus, tell Jesus you need to see him. But these other pathways exist, and we have to confront them. We have to say, if you're seeking Jesus, you need an authentic experience of Jesus. You need to start in God's Word. Because in these words, Jesus is clearly represented and revealed in a number of ways I'm going to go over in a minute. But the final salvation of a soul needs truth. It has to have clarity. If we're wishing to see Jesus, he's present every moment, and we can see him. We need to know that he's the key that unlocks everything. If you want to unlock this word, you need Jesus. If you want to understand the history of the world or of creation, you need Jesus. If you want to know about salvation, how, and their basic human realization, right? I ruin things myself. And we might not use the word sinner, but I sin. I fail myself and I fail my fellow man, and by extension, I fail God. We need to know that he is the center of truth. He says, "I am truth." For me, imagining people needing to see Jesus or saying to me in so many words, I wish to see Jesus. I had the privilege a long time ago of preaching in the old sanctuary at First Baptist in Columbia. It's a humongous historic structure, and it was a scene of many famous and infamous gatherings, but I had the privilege to preach in that pulpit, and I was nervous anyway because there's a lot of people there. And as I was walking up to the pulpit, I come around the desk like this, and where most of them say, dedicated to the memory of Uncle June, you know, or placed here by memory. I walked around like this, and there was a brass plaque, plain as day. It said, "Sir, we would see Jesus." I wasn't prepared for that. But that has stuck in my head ever since. To walk in front of people and understand it's spoken or not, whether it's expressed, there is someone present who would see Jesus. They would wish to see Jesus. And everything either lends itself to that or detracts from that, right? The motions of our worship, the things we go through in this time together, they either add to seeing Jesus or they take away. To know that you might actually obstruct or impair someone from seeing Jesus is quite a realization. Folks, we have to admit too much about church lately distracts people from seeing an authentic Jesus, takes away from or puts lies to an authentic Jesus. And if not, then another direction is true. The church believes that somehow we are God. That this worship needs to focus on me. We need to tell God about me. We need to tell one another how God is me and me and me. A very me-focused gospel. But I have to get back to saying, pastors love to imagine that people are saying, "Sir, we would see Jesus." Jesus is the key of all true preaching. Jesus is the center and the message of all true evangelism, not self-help. He is the message about justification. He is the message about sanctification, which is being made more into the image of, yes, Jesus, who we fix our gaze on steadily. By fixing our gaze on Jesus steadily, we become sanctified, whether you like it or not. I've never seen so many, you know, church people hate to be told they're sanctified. But you're holy people. Sanctification means being made holy, becoming holy. And it's a journey you're on from the day you believed. To begin the day, when your feet hit the floor, "Sir, I wish to see Jesus." Before the mirror in the bathroom, "I wish them to see Jesus when they look at me." To before your family and talking to them, say, "I want them to see Jesus," instead of what they usually get from me. We've been saying for 4 years now, keep your eyes on Jesus. From 2020 to now, we've said, keep your eye on the bouncing ball. Keep your eyes on Jesus. So today, as we begin our turn toward this Holy Week of observations, and remembering what Jesus has done for us on our behalf, how do we need to be viewing Jesus? What lens should we use as Christians today? Well, first, let's start with Palm Sunday. Let's acknowledge that Jesus is a triumphant king. The scriptures declared it. Jesus came in that way in fulfillment of prophecy. He wanted us to see him seated on a donkey as a king, a triumphant king. Jesus is called the King of Israel. Was it Pilate who said, "Behold your king"? And then there's the cross. To see Jesus as crucified. You know, I struggle with that cross. I wish more people did. I go there to the foot of that cross to see Jesus crucified, to realize that I'm attending a public execution, that the wrong man, but the right man, got the sentence. You know, they hung the wrong guy. They hung the wrong man. It should have been you. It should have been me. The only way to deal with my sin was my death. And Jesus made an atoning sacrifice. His death would satisfy God's justice and God's wrath on all our behalf. So we need to see Jesus today as a crucified man. One who has been punished. One who has borne the price and the sentence for our own sin. And today, we need to see Jesus as risen Lord. One fact that always stays with me in the midst of Holy Week, no matter where I'm at, Maundy, Thursday, Good Friday, whatever, I want to see that Jesus is risen in my life today. His words, "I am the resurrection and I am the life," they're like the last word. If you want to see Jesus as a believer today, especially as we approach Holy Week, remember, He is the resurrection. I am the resurrection and I am the life. If you believe in me, even if you die, you never will die. Jesus is resurrection. Are you fit and capable this morning? Jesus says you are. Are you fit and capable to share and show someone when they say, "We would see Jesus"? Jesus commissions you. Out of your own experience of seeing Him, of your own experience of being shared, having Him shared with you, He wants you to share Him so that others can see Him through you. Jesus came as the way, the truth, and the life. He's also a light of the world. What I want to ask you to do today, the wish to see Jesus, the true wish, is a great desire. It's amazing. It overcomes our reluctance to be seen in public. It overcomes our natural preoccupation with ourselves. It pushes us out in the street to touch His garment. It moves us out to tear the tiles off the roof and lower our friends into His presence. It motivates us to do whatever it takes to know that we can get clean and clear of things. So today, as we come to our time for ministry reflection, we open our altar, and it's here for those who feel directly the impulse to come and have business with God. Maybe you want to pray. There may be 100 reasons why somebody is at the altar. But if you would like to receive Him, have Him be your Savior and Lord today, enter your heart and life, begin to renovate you from the ground up and make you able to say, "I've seen Jesus and I've been saved, rescued by Him," then raise your hand at the altar and I'll come and pray with you. But for those who remain in the seat, I want you to focus on seeing Jesus as He is today. Imagine for yourself and ask yourself the question, "How is Jesus today? How will I see Him now in this moment?" And just take time in this reflection as they come and play, to say to yourself and reflect openly. You may even just open your hands in your lap and just in a receptive physical position. Allow the Holy Spirit to present Jesus as He is today for you, and as He would have you see Him yourself today. And then, curiously, respond to what you see. Just however seems the way He's leading, just respond. We'll take time for this moment at the altar, and then we will conclude our service.